talk about what is an essential business and also talk about the Constitution of the United States, because sometimes these two issues are interrelated, and I'll explain what I mean by that. First of all, the definition of an essential business. When we're in this kind of protracted lockdown that we're suffering under in the rule of King J.B. Pritzker in Illinois, he gets to determine really completely by himself what is and is not an essential business. So you can have a restaurant literally right next to Home Depot. The Home Depot can have 250 people in it. The restaurant can have zero at this point in terms of in-room dining, even though they might have a capacity for 250. And perhaps, I'm not even saying this is a smart strategy, but if you want to say quarter full, they could easily have, you know, 60 some people in there safely. Yet the answer right now is zero. Of course, too, what is an essential business? Well, if you own the business, believe me, it's more than essential to you. I would also argue that what's an essential operation? Well, a church is a very, very essential operation. I mean, it's not a business, but it's an operation in our country. And I would view that that is incredibly essential. More to the point, it's protected by the Constitution, which the restaurant is not. The church is. And unfortunately, what we saw this weekend in Chicago, and it didn't get a lot of press because press doesn't like to cover these issues, was a raid to try to crack down on people who dared to go to church in defiance of the orders of Governor Pritzker and Lord Lightfoot. But thankfully, there are people on top of this, and my guest right now is very much on top of this. And this is Mark Glennon, who's a friend of the show. He's been on before. He's one of the founders of WirePoints. And folks, I hadn't gone to WirePoints until all this madness started. And shame on me that I hadn't, because the writing that they do there is incredible. They do some curating and post a lot of top news stories, but then also original content and commentary. And it is fantastic. WirePoints.org. Mark Glennon also happens to be, like me, a graduate of Marion Catholic High School in Chicago Heights in the South Suburbs. So I'm always happy to have a Spartan on the show. Thank you, Mark Glennon, for being here.
Steve, great to be here. Thank you.
You bet. But not a great topic, unfortunately, to talk about. So you wrote an article, Morning Raid to Crush Chicago Churchgoers. Entire neighborhood gets no parking, tow warning. Can you update us here on, because again, it didn't get very much attention. So what happened on Sunday?
Sure. Well, the police went around the neighborhood of this particular church. The one that I wrote about is the Philadelphia Romanian church in Ravens, where the Ravenswood neighborhood in Chicago, as well as a number of other churches, including one from the same religion, and put up no parking signs everywhere. Police were stationed around. The intention, obviously, was to drive away anybody from attending. In the other location, they also blocked off access to the church's parking lot across the road. And people trying to go to church obviously were furious, and the pastor who I spoke to today, and he's listening, was very defiant, and he doesn't want to put up with this. He's a Romanian immigrant. His dad was a pastor in Romania, put in jail by the communists. This is why he came to the United States, to get away from this kind of thing. And God bless him, he's defiant. Right. And I couldn't be more proud of him.
Yeah, just a quick question. I mean, more just trivia, really. It's not important to the story, but why is it called the Philadelphia Romanian Church?
Don't know. I assume that that's their headquarters and where it was originally founded, but they have a number of branches.
Right. But I don't live too far from the church, by the way. So, I know the building, and I know that in general, too, in Chicago and for that matter around the country, some of the most brave resistors, really, when it comes out. I hate to use that term because the left loves the term resist. But some of the bravest people who are pushing back against these draconian lockdown orders when it comes to the churches are a lot of Eastern Orthodox and Eastern European Christians. And a lot of those churches have really taken very strong and, again, very brave stands. And I think it's to your point that's very important, is that they have such an intense and recent history of suffering under communism. A lot of the members of this church probably suffered under themselves. If they didn't, their parents did, certainly their grandparents. So this issue is very real. I think it's similar, for example, if you go to South Florida with the Cuban community. You know, communism is not theoretical to a lot of these folks. It's very, very real because it happened to them, or it happened to their immediate ancestors, parents and grandparents. And I mean, do you think that's part of the determination of this Romanian church in Chicago to be steadfast?
There's so many ironies in this. I mean, as the pastor points out, what this has driven is hatred towards the church, towards these immigrants. He said his son, who was the pastor, his first generation, the son was born here, but people in the neighborhood are telling him to go back to the country he came from, that kind of thing. The alderman there sent around the letter, that is, somewhat hostile to the church, too, explaining the parking situation and everything. But they suffered under it, too, because they couldn't park in their own neighborhood.
Right. Well, and, you know, to that point, too, so they show up, they change the parking designations on Saturday night, effectively, right? I mean, it's just all the way around. I mean, this is just dirty pool, right? They're not playing fair. And not only, you know, they're trying, of course, to punish the church, but not only do they tow the cars of parishioners, they actually tow the cars of a lot of other folks, too, in doing this.
Yeah, actually, there's some controversy about whether people were told that the signs were put up. They were ticketed, according to news reports, from that particular location. It's not at all clear that people got told, but the threat was there. Okay. And that's what's, there was police action to enforce this. But one of the good things here, this is another irony, is the police generally around the state are on the side of defiance to a large extent. I mean, you've seen many stories in many cities, and the Illinois Sheriff's Association said they're not going to enforce this order. There's a police block here where most of them were very sympathetic here to the people trying to go to church.
Right. Now, you know, that's an excellent point. And I want to ask you more. We're going to continue the conversation with Mark Glennon of Wire Points. You can find them at wirepoints.org. They do just terrific work, both posting important stories about the city of Chicago, state of Illinois, and then also a lot of original commentary and analysis. They do a lot of mathematical work. It's very, very well done, well presented. I highly recommend going there. And I didn't know about this story, about this crackdown on churches here in the city of Chicago, until I heard about it from Mark Glennon and Wire Points. So it's an important story, I think, for us to get out there and to make sure people do know about. We're going to continue the conversation up next. And Mark, I want to ask you about that very issue of the cops and where the cops line up and all of this up next. We're continuing the conversation about the unfortunate situation in the city of Chicago and the crackdown on churches. Really, the crackdown on the Constitution, the crackdown on common sense, and also the broader unfortunate reality in our state, of a state where a lot of leaders, particularly Governor Pritzker and Lord Lightfoot, as I call her, are acting far more like tyrants than they are like public servants and like the leaders of a democratic republic, small d, small r. They haven't acted like that very much at all lately, which is why I call her Lord Lightfoot, because I think she thinks that she's an aristocrat, at least, and perhaps even worse, an actual monarch. And I'm talking with Mark Glennon, who does amazing work at Wire Points and has pointed out this crackdown on churches where the city has started harassing churches that dare to defy these orders and say, you know what, we are an essential business. And if other businesses are allowed to be open, if Home Depot can be open, if the weed distributor can be open, if the liquor store can be open, then churches can be open. I think it's a strong argument that regarding our constitutional principles, if the government is picking and choosing which operations can be open and can be sustained, that you must put the least restrictive category, put in the least restrictive category, then houses of worship. And of course, I'm focused here on Christian churches, but it's true of any houses of worship. And I don't care if it's a Wicca house of worship. If it's a house of worship, it's protected by the Constitution. So, Mark, I want to ask you about, we were talking before the break about this issue of the cops, who I think have, unfortunately, in a lot of cases all over the country, been put in really bad positions. And I do feel for them because they have a job to do. They don't want to, you know, necessarily make waves. Certainly don't want to get fired. But on the other hand, they also have an obligation to do what's right. They have an obligation, actually, under their sworn duty, to disobey unlawful orders, a lot like the military does. And to this point, the DuPage County Sheriff, James Mendrick, he gave an interview and he said, quote, "I'm not going to be anyone's boogeyman." He also said, quote, "We are not stormtroopers. We are peacekeepers." Now, to be fair to him, he made it very clear that he was not trying to be political. And if I read between the lines of his interview, I think he also is, you know, he's not like me. He's not a fire-breathing American nationalist. But he does take his obligations very seriously, and he does not want to become stormtroopers. And what's your feeling of what he said and the situation the cops are in general?
Yeah, and he had a wonderful post up on Facebook explaining his position yesterday, too, which we posted. He's part of a pretty long list now. There are quite a few around the state, sheriffs, the Illinois Sheriff's Association, as I mentioned, as well as a lot of individual county officers and such are defying the rule in one manner or another, and they recognize that over overriding obligation they had to honor the Constitution. And by the way, Steve, you used an important phrase there, the least restrictive means. That's a basic principle that you learn in law school in your first year of constitutional law. When you have to take measures like that that do impinge on constitutional rights, it has to be done in the least restrictive means possible. That clearly wasn't done under Pritzker's order or in the way Lightfoot is enforcing that. And, you know, part of the thing, what bothers them, I'm sure, is, you know, they're under these sanctuary city rules. They're, you know, restricted from enforcing rules against illegal immigrants. Well, now they're supposed to harass these legal immigrants. This Romanian church community is largely immigrants, and they're just not comfortable with it, and a lot of them aren't going to do it.
Right. Well, that's good. I mean, I think, unfortunately, you know, again, I hate that a lot of police have been put in this situation, but their higher duty is to the Constitution. I mean, also just to common sense and human decency, but in terms of their professional obligation, you know, they swear allegiance and honor to the United States Constitution. And I'm thankful for somebody like DuPage Sheriff, very high profile person, you know, DuPage County, enormous county, second biggest in the state. You know, this is not a small deal, and it can't be dismissed by a lot of the sort of media elites. I think sometimes when they hear that a sheriff downstate, they say, oh, you know, they want to just write him off as if he's some sort of redneck who doesn't matter. Not that I, of course, believe that, but I'm saying I think that's what they want to presume.
Steve, something's happening here, to take a line from an old 60s protest thing.
Yeah.
People are waking up, and they are not just right-wingers. We had 110,000 page views on our site yesterday, almost entirely on this matter. Overwhelmingly, people are indignant about this rule. And, you know, thank God that people are starting to understand the danger of the precedent that would be set here if, you know, indefinite powers like Pritzker claims he has are allowed to stand.
Right. And Mark, is that a lot of traffic compared to normal for your site?
That is. That is.
That's a good sign.
10,000, yes.
I mean, it's great for your site, first of all, which is important, but it's also just great news that I do believe that. I believe there's an awakening going on where even, and, you know, to this point, even some of the worst governors in America, I think, are having a bit of an awakening. For example, Governor Newsom in California, even he, you know, who is hard, hard left, about as radical as it gets, I think, on most issues, even he has already said, you know what, there will be sports in the fall. It's going to be without fans, probably, but still, there's going to be sports. Even he is getting more sort of reasonable than is Pritzker. And to that point, you guys also put on your website, and I'm glad you did, you put this map up of the country, and it shows the stages states are in. Are they, you know, almost completely open, on their way, you know, where they are on this process? And the two outliers, the only two that are still basically in full lockdown, are Illinois and Michigan. And you have to think, when you look at the governors of those two states, the worst two governors in America, probably between Whitmer and Pritzker.
It's uncanny. And, you know, the last thing we need is another indication of being an outlier, you know, besides our financial condition here.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could be outliers for a different reason? You know, and I want to ask you about that. Let's pivot over to finances. So you also put an article about how the borrowing costs of Illinois are skyrocketing, and they're about five times higher than AAA credit. AAA credit, for folks out there who don't pay attention to bond markets, that means that, you know, the very best credit that's out there, very blue chip companies that investors believe, you know, are going to be in business for a very, very long time. So they get extremely low interest rate, particularly in this environment. Illinois' borrowing costs are five times higher than that. Mark Glennon, do you believe that ultimately, and we've got about a minute left here, do you believe that ultimately this will be the mechanism, the discipline mechanism that will finally force Illinois to deal with its problems? The fact that we just, unlike the United States government, we can't borrow unless...
Right. It has been our view for a long time that there won't be one big boom where you cannot issue bonds or something like that. This is a slow death, a slow motion train wreck. And, that line from the movie It's Happening about the meltdown in 2008, that happened real rapidly. This is a gradual process. People are leaving. This is going to get worse and worse. We were in an unsustainable situation before the pandemic. I mean, this it was only a matter of time before this happened. So, the Chicago will, and the state will go to the Fed and borrow some money, you know, try to kick the can for a little bit. Who knows how that'll shake out, but this is not going to end well, and it's very scary. I mean, it is so bad right now that even people are thinking, oh, we can fix this by fixing the pensions, and I'm a big critic at the pension system, but I'm concerned that there won't even be enough to pay them something meager that they need to sustain themselves. It's that bad.
Okay. Well, you know what would help a lot? Reopening. And I mean, now. not reopening in the fall, right? Reopening now. I mean, not that that's a silver bullet and solves everything, but it would sure help. Mark Glennon from WirePoints, thank you so much for the important work you're doing, and thank you for being my guest today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve.
You bet. Folks, we're going to stay local. We're going to talk next with Illinois State Representative David McSweeney. He's fighting for conservative principles and for the Constitution down in Springfield, which can be a very lonely job. And he's going to be imparting his wisdom upon with us up in the next hour coming up.